I'm so fucking sick, I'm the king of the world. I'm a genius of useless stuff. Some people, they gotta work while I just hang around. I'm dreaming of useless stuff.
Hey, and welcome to episode 2 of the new Dorkgasm version 2.0. Makes it all shiny and stuff. I'm Rob, and we've got Crispy here.
Hello, everyone.
That cracks me up every time. And Kyle.
How am I supposed to follow that, man? Come on.
You probably shouldn't even. You should probably just hang up and let us do it by ourselves.
God.
It might be best. This is part 2 of a very special episode that just kind of where we talk about the stuff that we found interesting or extraordinarily disappointing in the last year. We're only a little bit late. Not super late on that.
No.
We play by our own calendar. So.
That's right.
So there. Last time we talked about a lot of TV shows and a little bit of comic books. And you know what? What's funny is I talked about the DC's big 52 relaunch thing and how some of the books were just clearly bad ideas just from the get-go. And I specifically mentioned Mr. Terrific. There is a reason why he didn't have a comic book before. And like literally the day after we recorded, they announced that they're canceling Mr. Terrific. Yeah.
Very astute there with your
yep.
observation.
I wish I had posted the podcast in time, like, before they'd announced that. I would have looked just fucking amazing. But as is, you'll have to take my word for it that I did indeed call it before it happened.
You have two witnesses, at least.
All right. So. But you're not trustworthy.
No.
That's the problem.
No, not in the least. Yeah, updates of my own. I did get a chance to watch some clips of the Life's Too Short. That we had mentioned last time, and the one with Johnny Depp was pretty damn funny.
I only saw a part of that, but yeah, that's
yeah, it was good.
Look forward to that show.
And then I got a chance to watch the new Sherlock that I mentioned, the first two episodes, which are actually run about an hour and a half a piece. I imagine they may split them up.
Is that season 2 that you're talking about?
No, season 1.
Oh, okay. Aired them on PBS, and they aired as part of that program Mystery, but it was I don't think it was Mystery. It was like some – like not. It was like Mystery SVU or something.
Okay. Yeah, because they're like hour and a half, and they're only like 3 from last season.
Yep. Yeah, and they actually aired them as full movies.
Oh, okay.
You know, if it's an hour and a half, that's a movie. So there.
There you go. So, yeah, I watched the first two, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it really,
highly
really
recommend
is.
It.
Yeah, they've got the second season has started a week or two ago in England, and I don't know if they've aired in the U.S. yet or if there are ways to track those episodes down, but I've not watched them yet. But I'm looking forward to it. So, let us just get right down to business. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Let's see. What do we want to talk about? Movies?
Movies.
Oh, man. There were a ton of just incredibly nerdy, dorky movies that came out.
This was a comic book summer, definitely.
It really was.
X-Men First Class, which was probably one of the best comic book movies of the summer, I would say. That or Thor. I really enjoyed those a lot.
See, Thor and Captain America were the two that Green Lantern I heard pretty steady was either middle of the road to sort of leaning towards the bottom. Captain America and Thor, from what I heard, either you loved one and thought the other was trash, or it was vice versa. Like, people who loved Thor thought Captain America was junk. People who loved Captain America said Thor was the stupidest thing they ever saw.
I have not heard that at all. Thor, I think, was... I enjoyed Captain America more, but I am he's actually – Captain America is probably my favorite superhero, like even above Batman. So I was massively looking forward to this movie and ready for huge amounts of disappointment. Thor, I like the Thor comics, but aside from being in the Avengers, I never really – cared about Thor that much in the past. So I didn't really have, you know, much riding on that. And it was all right, but it was, yeah, Captain America was better. I wouldn't say that I hated Thor or anything, but...
That was probably the opposite. I liked Thor better. Captain America, although I loved Joe Johnston and I loved the Rocketeer and everything like that, I think this was right up his alley. But it just felt... Well, my wife fell asleep during it.
Let me ask you all this.
It just seemed to certain areas just to trot along, and the whole thing with Bucky. I'm like, what just happened there? You know, like.
Did you two feel that Hugo Weaving was able to be a good comic book hero, despite how he's usually very over the top? You know, but
why would that be a drawback for a comic book character?
I didn't say it was
like
a drawback.
Comic book characters are over the top.
Yeah. No, he's usually not a comic book character type person.
I don't know about that. Like, Agent Smith, I think, would fit in all sorts of comic books. The elf whose name I'm blanking on at the moment.
Yeah, me too. I was trying to think of that.
Elrond?
Yeah. Elrond.
Something like that. Okay, I guess maybe he could fit in ElfQuest. I don't really know where else he would put that, but...
Well, let's rephrase then. Was he good?
Yes. He was probably one of the bright spots of the movie for me. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
the guy's like a really good actor, and he's entertaining to watch, so no matter what he's doing. So, I Chris Evans, actually, for me, was where I was expecting the weakest link, because... I mean, all right, he was kind of flaky in Fantastic Four, but then again, Johnny Storm's kind of flaky, so maybe he's just a really good actor, and I was not aware of it.
He was pretty good in, what was it, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World last year.
Yeah, that movie was surprisingly entertaining. I had reached my Michael Cera saturation point prior to having seen that, but I enjoyed that movie, and Youth and Revolt is another Michael Cera movie that... it was way, way better than the commercials would have had you believe.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, we had my biggest disappointment was obviously Green Lantern. That's my favorite, you know, superhero.
That one, I went in expecting just absolutely nothing, and that's pretty much what I got. So I enjoyed it enough. I mean, I didn't feel like I wasted the 90 minutes leaving the house. But, yeah, I mean, I was really... Warner Brothers, for whatever reason... I guess I should say, I mean, Warner Brothers owns DC. And Considering that Warner Brothers has been making movies for, you know, 100 whatever years, I am amazed that they could not get their act together with their superheroes like Marvel's doing with the connected universe. Because the problem Marvel has is that, like, Spider-Man and the X-Men, Sony has the movie rights. So they can't even incorporate, like, two of their biggest franchises under their Marvel Studios umbrella. Warner Brothers doesn't have that problem. Like, they've got, you know, Batman. They've got all of them because they own all of them, and they didn't sell the movie rights to anybody. And they just can't get this together. It's just
the only franchise recently, you know, they've had the Dark Knight series, which have been, you know, hugely successful. But yeah, you kept hearing all this good stuff about Green Lantern, and they were calling it, you know, oh, it's going to be the next Star Wars. Although I highly doubted that. That's when you first get a little suspicious. You know, you don't. Don't start throwing out, like, it's going to be like Star Wars, you know, lightly. And then, yeah, and then the first reviews came in, and all my hopes not. Because the original trailer, it was kind of like, meh, I don't know. And they hadn't done a lot, and they said, oh, we haven't, you know, filmed a lot, and there's a lot more coming. And then the other trailers were great, and I couldn't wait to see Oa and the freaking core. All that, and then they're in there for like 5 minutes of the movie, and then Hector Hammond is screaming for like a half hour, holding his head. And
This one, I think that there was the deal is now, ever since Superman, I guess, that the first movie's got to be the origin movie, and there's a whole lot of origin for Green Lantern.
There is.
I mean, you got to set up so much stuff, and they didn't really have time to set up the villain or explain the villain, because he kind of had to pick and choose or have a 2.5 hour movie. So it was a tough call, and I seem to recall having heard that they've already said that they're going to make another one, even though the first one didn't do so well.
So maybe they could, I
think that they could definitely improve on that, because now they kind of have the whole origin mess out of the way, and they can actually work on making, you know, a coherent movie.
Did you watch after the credits?
Yes, with the Sinestro thing.
Yeah. So obviously Sinestro, they're heading him up as the villain for the next one, which, you know, it could be good. So, you know, here's hoping that it's better. So, another on my disappointed was Cowboys and Aliens, too.
Yeah, that was for, you know, Indiana Jones and James Bond teaming up was not that exciting.
That's what I heard, yeah.
It should have been better, but, yeah.
I heard it just kind of fell flat. So, it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't terribly exciting.
Yeah,
there were a lot of slow parts.
I mean, it gave you exactly what they told you. You know, there were cowboys and there were aliens, but the cowboys were horribly, mismatched there. So there wasn't a lot of fighting and stuff. It was mostly cowboys running away from aliens and then trying to figure out a way to beat the aliens and then just lucking into beating the aliens, I guess, is the nicest way. It was
got their butts kicked for a while, and
yeah, and then another alien helped them beat the aliens, essentially. So
awesome.
Yep.
So there you go. Don't even have to rent it from Redbox.
Yeah. Glad to be of service.
So we did. There were some good sci-fi movies this year too during the summer. With Super 8. This was good. You had Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which I think a lot of people were surprised that would be any good.
Yeah, that's
fantastic.
I caught that on demand a couple weeks back, and yeah, that was surprisingly good, because the Tim Burton one was just so bad, and yeah, this was pretty entertaining.
Yep, and then so Real Steel did reasonably well. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I did not see Real Steel. I was just thinking it was actually more of Rise of the Forest of the Apes, but I'm confused as to how that few apes is going to populate the world, but, you know, whatever.
You only need, what, is it 12?
I don't know.
People, like what they say, to repopulate the world, is it 24 or 12? Technically, you can have to repopulate the world without there being, you know, chromosome issues.
I really could not tell you. I don't know. I think, well, it depends on how choosy those 12 people are, too. Really.
That is true.
So,
yeah. Source Code. I did not see that.
Just the previews made me angry.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where I wasn't sure if I was going to like it, but it was very strong.
Who was it that starred in that?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah. He kind of vaguely annoys me for no good reason.
For no good, because he's good looking.
No, there's just nothing. I don't know what it is about him. I just like. I don't hate him or anything. I just get this sense of a severe sense of apathy. That's his charisma is for me at any rate just apathy inducing.
You might maybe you'd feel different if you didn't have a penis. I don't know.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, I kind of felt the same way, especially when they mentioned, you know, Prince of Persia and all that. I was like, I don't know.
So you changed your mind after the movie where he runs around without his shirt, like, for 2 hours?
Well, no, the female lead was hot.
Oh, okay. So that's fair.
I don't remember her name. But it was very good. I do recommend that one. So, you know, that was just some of the sci-fi stuff I had. You had some fun comedies. Transformers.
You missed Transformers?
Yeah. No, that wasn't on my good list, though.
Oh, well, it did come out. It was sci-fi. it was... I don't really remember hardly anything. Oh, you know what I do remember about it, though, is that somehow they managed to drive from Florida to Chicago, like, overnight. And I drove from St. Louis to Orlando, which is smack dab in the center of Florida, and St. Louis is a few hours south of Chicago, and it took about 20-some hours of driving.
Yeah, the timing That I noticed that as well. Like, they had like a day or something, and they got a lot accomplished in
they
that
really
day.
Did, yeah.
I don't think I could get that much accomplished in a month, but I guess that's the magic of movies. So, yeah, that one was very blaringly obvious, and I don't know. I heard people say, oh, it's, you know, it's better than the... I enjoyed the first one a lot, but they said, oh, it's even better than the first one, and no, it was not. It wasn't very good at all.
There were some major plot problems with that. But.
Was Leonard Nimoy a good contribution, or was he just a quick sellout?
He was there.
Yeah, he had a major character with a lot of lines.
Yeah, but was it a contribution to the movie, or was it just, ooh, for shock, you know, for awe value, it's Leonard Nimoy?
No, he was there. I mean, no, he had a fairly large role.
Yeah.
Like that. You know,
it was just... I mean, he was in the original Transformers cartoon movie. So
Unicron.
That...
Not
yeah.
Unicron?
No,
he was Galvatron.
Yeah, so...
Showing our nerd flags, man.
So they were playing off of that. And he was actually... He had just come off of a well-received run on Fringe. So...
He was supposedly retired.
Like, yeah.
So he is done now.
Yeah. So I think it was just, you know, a little bit of both, you know, give the nerd some Spock and him just wanting to do it. I mean, because Crispy said, Nimoy's retired and he came back and did this and he did a few episodes of Fringe just because he wanted to. He apparently doesn't really need the money, but...
He's not going to do any more of the Star Trek cruises or any more of the expos or anything, apparently. So he's going to take it easy. I don't blame him. He's getting up there.
Yeah. He likes to take black and white erotic photography of big, beautiful women.
Did you just read this on Wikipedia?
Nope.
Or?
No. I saw something about that on FARC.com a long time ago.
That's seared
into my brain.
Spock's a big... Spock's into the BBW, man.
Yeah. So
awesome. So, yeah, let's see what else. Oh, you had some big action movies this summer, too. You had the finale to the Harry Potter series, which was action-packed and fairly short.
All of the action that was not in the previous movie.
Yeah, I still like the previous
movie. Oh, I enjoyed it, too, but it really... Yeah. The first half of that book was just walking in the woods, walking in the woods, walking
in the woods. Walking in the woods, looking, looking.
Yeah, that's not a super exciting movie.
No, but they handle it very well. So
they're TARDIS tins. Yeah.
A surprise for me, I hadn't watched many. I think I watched the first one in the series, but I had a blast watching this. My friends invited me when I went up to Michigan to see Fast Five. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I've not seen any of the Fast and Furious movies.
It's just action-packed and fun as hell. I mean, there's nothing to it. The Rock is great in it. You know, he and Vin Diesel have some great scenes. I don't see how Vin Diesel could stand up to The Rock in a fight. It's like The Rock is twice his size and, you know, would just snap his neck. But, you know, they had a really elaborate fight scene that was very good. So, it's a fun one. Definitely worth the rent. You know, during the holiday season here, you had two good ones. You had Sherlock Holmes 2, which you saw and you said you'd like.
I did like it.
And Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. So,
that was surprisingly good, too.
Yeah. Well, directed by Brad Bird, you know.
Yeah. Director of The Incredibles.
And The Iron Giant, which is a very underrated cartoon.
You know, I don't think that's true. Everywhere I go, I hear about that. It is super highly rated.
Yeah, but it's like, I guess by nerds, it's like a cult following, you know? Like, people that follow animation or
suppose,
that kind of thing love it. You know, and
actually, I haven't seen it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it came out at the point where I wasn't really paying much attention to animated movies, it just came out like at a time where I was not interested. I think it wasn't exactly, I guess, post Pixar, because I guess Toy Story and stuff had come out, but it was. It kind of was in that window before anything that wasn't Pixar or Disney was, and even Disney was not that great, but when anything that wasn't, I guess, Pixar wasn't really usually that good.
I think it was, Fox? And so Fox was winding up because they did that, and, shoot, the one with the, blanking now. I think it was their final one that they.
Yeah, because
something
it,
about Earth.
Yeah, I remember that
with Matt Damon and stuff, which was okay. Yeah, but I
can't remember the name of that one either.
There's probably a reason for that.
Probably.
So, but so yeah, highly recommended. What's interesting is that Andrew Stanton is directing. This is on my anticipated movies of the year, but he's, you know, he directed WALL-E and Finding Nemo, and now he's directing his first live action John Carter.
I'm a little dubious of that movie too. I want it to be all right, but
the I don't know if you saw the trailer, but I have the animation, the CG eye looks really good, so. Which I was surprised at for a Disney movie like that. So that's one we'll have to see how it does in the new year. So that's all. Those are the kind of the standouts I had for action. If anyone had anything else, but and then for comedy, you had I think pretty much you had one good comedy. I'll say one and a half because one was more like a dramedy. But I had Bridesmaids, which was hilarious. I don't know. So. I don't know if you had a chance to see that one, but it was excellent.
Yeah, I have not seen that one yet. I just keep
surprising.
Waiting for it to come on cable.
And then 50-50 with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That was the one where he has cancer. His friend is Seth Rogen or whatever. As I say, it's more like a dramedy, but it was hilarious and serious and.
Yeah, I've heard interviews, the guy who wrote it, because it's based on what happened to him, and that guy's actually really funny, so...
Yeah, he and Seth Rogen are writing partners. They wrote for Ali G, or for Sacha Baron Cohen, for his stuff on HBO. So what's really interesting is that the one that it's based on, his chances weren't even 50-50. He was going to die, they told him. Yeah, there was 100% chance he was going to die. So, which was amazing. And then I guess it was like, then it was like 70-30 later on. So he, yeah, it's a fantastic movie. It really is.
So we need to put a disclaimer on that one, that it's one of those ones where they lure you in, making you think it's a comedy, and then ends up actually being sort of heavily serious.
Yeah, that's why I said like dramedy, because it's like that new category. So, I mean, Seth Rogen is funny, and he's kind of that, you know, the friend that offsets that serious stuff. But yeah, when it starts getting towards the end and, you know, it starts getting a little heavy, the funny goes away for a little while.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure that Joseph Gordon-Levitt doesn't die, considering I've heard interviews with the guy who he's based on, so.
yeah.
Don't mean to spoil that, but...
doesn't die. So, and then, you know, I threw in some family stuff. You know, we had you had Kung Fu Panda 2, which is a sequel. I didn't get a chance to see it, but it did, you know, pretty well. You had a big, really big holiday season. Yeah, they all these movies did well, at least, critically. You had Muppets, Tintin,
yeah,
Hugo.
I did not see Hugo. I saw Tintin, and it was pretty decent. It was the first time they've used that motion capture animation thing that didn't completely weird me out, so that was nice. Because I'm pretty sure that the Polar Express is a horror movie. I think that's got to be the only explanation for that. And the Muppets, I thought was that was one of my favorite movies of the year. Actually, I really enjoyed that. But
yeah.
I quite like the Muppets. So.
Yeah, see, and I do too. I grew up on the Muppets. In fact, for the longest time, and I guess this probably slightly embarrassing reveal here, but for the longest time, when I was a teenager, I wanted to be a puppeteer when I grew up.
Oh, yeah?
So, like, University of Connecticut, you know, they had like a bachelor's and a master's of arts and puppetry, and then as I got older, I realized you really can't make a living doing puppetry. It's very difficult to do. You can't just, you know, head up to Jim Henson Workshop and work there. So then I grew up and became best critic and realized and set that dream to the side. So I also had Arthur Christmas was another one that did, you know.
Oh yeah, Aardman, the Wallace and Gromit dudes.
Wallace and Gromit. So I don't know if it's a financial success for them, but I know it was a critical success, which is always good.
Yeah, well, their stuff is always good.
And then always good, like Pixar, except for Cars 2.
I enjoyed Cars 2 quite a bit. I didn't like Cars 1 that much. I thought that was quite possibly the weakest of the Pixar movies. Although I remember very, very little about A Bug's Life, but it did have Dave Foley in it, so it's got to rank pretty high just for that. I went into Cars 2 with really, really low expectations, and I went because I had a free movie ticket. So, and I enjoyed the hell out of that movie.
Really?
Yeah, I really did.
Yeah, it was way better than
the first one.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, I'm
it's
not
considered
it was,
like it's like considered their only. They wouldn't say terrible movie, but only lackluster movie.
Oh,
you know,
man, no! Cars 1 was just, but this was so much better than Cars 1. So it was It was not obviously better than Toy Story 3, which is also just a horrible, horrible movie for making grown men cry in the theater. My God.
Yeah, I held it together though. I was close.
Well, then you're
it took
you're
all
a
my strength. But I've learned to block all my emotions as a man during my lifetime. So especially you really, you know, it's like a muscle. You have to work that crying muscle. And I it was close though. There was some watering of the eyes, but nothing fell out, which is the important thing.
All right.
Attack on the Block. This is kind of one of those underrated ones that from Across the Sea. It's basically like it's a comedy, and it's about an alien invasion, but they invade the ghetto in the UK, and it's about, you know, these teenagers that are in this gang and them fighting back and so that's a. Just kind of one of those, kind of like this, Shaun of the Dead, because it's got the pudgy friend in it.
Oh, Nick Frost.
Nick Frost, yes, he is in an Attack the Block. So I don't know if Simon Pegg was involved.
You know,
or not.
You know what? Those two. They speaking of them, they did Paul, which was a very underrated movie.
It was. That was kind of my. I enjoyed it, but I don't know if I'd ever, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't super, but it was much more enjoyable than. You would believe from what it did at the box office.
That was them and Seth Rogen, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think Seth Rogen is probably what killed it. People, much like Michael Cera, they've reached their Seth Rogen saturation point.
Although you have to admit, his comment on the Golden Globes was hilarious. I've never heard that in prime time. He was standing next to presenting an award with Kate Beckinsale, and the first thing he said is. You know, I'm trying to hide a massively huge erection right now. and she couldn't keep it together. And that was not planned, I don't think, at all. He just busted that out on primetime TV.
Very nice.
Which is hilarious.
He's
a classy guy. But then Ricky Gervais was, you know, he kind of set that whole tone for the evening, which is great. So just to run down some of the – I'm just going to list these off just to kind of get these out of the way, but some of the disappointing ones of the year. I don't, was Last Airbender end of 2010?
I don't remember when that came out. I think it was this year sometime.
I think so. It was either late 2010, early 2011. I love Avatar, The Last Airbender, the actual cartoon. Probably one of the best cartoons out there. Such a huge disappointment. Made me dislike M. Night Shyamalan even more for directing that. We already went over Green Lantern, Green Hornet.
That was last year, wasn't it? Or, I mean, 2010?
Was it 2010?
Seems like a long time ago.
It does. It was earlier this year, I think, wasn't it? Maybe not.
I looked at a website for 2011 movies. It did list Green Hornet.
Didn't list it. Okay. Hangover 2 might as well just been The Hangover.
Well, yeah, but you kind of should have known that going in.
Sucker Punch. Was that this year as well? I don't know. The Thing is kind of unnecessary.
I did not see that, but it did inspire a really, really cool haunted house at the Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, all they did was they just made it so it was a hot female lead and, you know, a hip young cast instead of, like, having some old guys in there, too.
Which is a shame because Kurt Russell will never grow old in my heart.
No, no. Pirates of the Caribbean, which I enjoyed the other Pirates movies, and I did not.
Yeah, this was definitely unnecessary.
Conan the Barbarian.
Didn't see it. Unnecessary.
Unnecessary. Cars 2 is on my list. I know you liked it. I hadn't seen it, so I'll have to give it a fair shake. Happy Feet 2. Unnecessary.
Yep.
Arthur. Unnecessary.
Yeah.
A lot of remakes that didn't need to be remade. And then, let's see, we got some 2012 is shaping up to be a good year as well. You've got Hunger Games. I don't know if you guys read the books, but fantastic series of books. You know, it's considered young adult, but I mean, whenever you deal with teenagers that have to kill each other in this game, can't go wrong. So you really can't. My only hesitance is that it's Summit, which does, you know, all the Twilight stuff. But the trailer kind of set aside my unease for a little while. Big movie, big comic movie of the summer. You have Avengers, that I'm looking forward to. I think
a lot more under the radar. You actually have the next Ghost Rider movie coming out, which they're gonna have to do a lot better than the first one to make it stick out.
There's been a lot of good early buzz about it, comparatively to what there was in the first one.
Well, I think the biggest downfall the first one had, I did not sincerely dislike it. I think what killed it was when you go to a superhero movie, it's the same concept as a game. If you don't have, you know, one big bad guy, you want to see the boss fights. And all it was for the first one was pen and stare, done.
He beat all the bosses with his chain, and within 2 seconds it was over. You know,
you've got to do a little better on the bad guys fight for the sequel if it's going to be any good.
So the action that I've seen in the trailers has looked really good. He's more fiery, more badass, you know. The bike looks better. So we'll see. I mean, it's still Nicolas Cage, who hasn't done a good movie. I can't even think of a good one. So for a long time now, he's been putting out some real crud, direct-to-DVD kind of stuff. You got The Hobbit coming out end of next year, An Unexpected Journey, part 1 of 2. So, looking real
forward. More walking.
Walking, yes. More walking and more walking. Pixar's Brave, which is like a Scottish fable kind of thing, which looks, the animation looks amazing. So, it's Pixar. So, you can pretty much bet that one's going to be pretty damn good. Another comic book movie that I haven't heard a lot of recently, but I'm looking forward to, Dredd, based on Judge Dredd with Carl Urban.
Is this going to be a sequel to the Sylvester Stallone one, or just fresh?
Retelling. It's from what it sounds like, it's almost like Training Day with Judge Dredd. And he does not take off his helmet, which is correct. He will not take it off the entire movie. So,
fantastic.
Just like in the comic books. So they're trying to be faithful to that. Another comic, you got two more comic book movies here. You got Dark Knight Rises, so the last of the Dark Knight trilogy. So
yeah, I thought this is looking pretty interesting, especially the fact that they decided to cast Mushmouth from the Fat Albert Show as Bane. It's very exciting.
Yeah, and the fact that they are going to leave him like that and not do subtitles or anything.
Yeah.
So I guess they were like, he's Bane. You're not supposed to hear him very well. Okay. I mean, the first two movies were good, so I guess you kind of have to give him the benefit of the doubt. And then I know a lot of people are like, why? Why would you do this? But The Amazing Spider-Man. No. What? Oh.
They're kind of ultimatizing the Spider-Man franchise. They're going to take it back all the way to high school again and start over.
Well, yeah. That's a good idea because, you know, it's been so long since they've told the origin story of Spider-Man.
Oh, yes. It's so hard. It's a hard one to remember. So, but I'm looking forward to it. Andrew Garfield's a great young actor. I think he'll fit in the role a little bit better. I like that the fact that the villain is the Lizard, so get kind of a new kind of villain that we haven't
seen. They did finally reveal who the villain was going to be.
Yeah, it's Reese Ifan or whatever, Ifan as Dr. Kurt Connors. So and yeah, they're doing the Lizard. So they're definitely, you know, Peter's in high school, and it's no Mary Jane. It's just
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani. Yes.
Momentary
played by Emma Stone, who's another actress I like. So it looks like it could be really good. So we'll see. I mentioned John Carter from the Edgar Rice Burroughs novel, John Carter of Mars. You know, we'll see how that one does. Men in Black 3. You know, it's been 10 years since Men in Black 2. So I don't know if you saw the trailer. But basically,
yeah, James Brolin as a young K was
fantastic.
Yes,
crazy. he only says a couple of words, so it's going to be hard to tell. You know, but he's a fantastic actor. So I'm actually looking forward to it. You have the new James Bond movie, Skyfall. So we'll see how that one goes. And then a couple of then you've got Prometheus, which is Ridley Scott coming back to the Alien series with the prequel. So we'll it's be, before the yeah, I don't know if you remember in the first movie with that space jockey creature. I guess it takes place 30 years before Alien. So it kind of tells the story of what went on the planet. So looking forward to that. And then you have your annual zombie affair, the World War Z, which is based on the Max Brooks book, which is actually pretty darn funny from the excerpts I've read. So with Brad Pitt. So and so those are my top anticipated movies of 2012. So you've got a couple other ones in there that I'm like, man, we'll see. You got Total Recall, you know, Ghost Rider, G.I. Joe Retaliation, which had a surprisingly good trailer.
And it's got The Rock, who is yet to disappoint me, so.
That is true, except in The Tooth Fairy. And
all oh, sorry, other. I guess I should add, yet to disappoint me in films I've actually watched.
Watched, oh, okay. The trailer was actually was really good. I love the end with Bruce Willis, so when he comes in. Supposedly there's an Evil Dead remake. I don't know if it'll be out this year.
We have Expendables 2 coming out, and they did it right this time because Chuck Norris is going to be in it.
There you go. For more than 2 seconds, or is he just going to make a brief cameo and be like...
I think he's not going to do the Arnold, and I know they're bringing Arnold back this time proper. Arnold's actually going to have a part more than just talking.
Well, he's going to need the money.
Yeah, very much. What with the divorce and probably not being governator.
No, yeah, he's done. So, yeah, supposedly in the Evil Dead remake, like every remake of a horror film, they're turning the female, or the lead to a female. So, it'll be Ash Lee. So,
well,
apparently.
It was Ash Lee in the first one. It was Ashley Williams.
My wife says boo in the background to that. Yeah, that just seems to be how they update now. They write thinly veiled, you know, female lead. You know, there's no depth to them. They just kick ass.
It's also written by Diablo Cody, the woman that wrote Juno, who is just so awful.
I actually found the other one that she did pretty funny, the Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, I didn't see that. She did Jennifer's Body.
Oh, no. Drag Me to Hell wasn't her. That's right. Jennifer's Body. Yeah. Drag Me to Hell was good. Jennifer's Body, not so good.
Drag Me to Hell was Sam Raimi, and what's really sad is that was the closest thing to an Evil Dead remake I've ever seen. Did he direct that, or did he produce that? He did direct it. He might have produced it as well, and literally, I mean, there are scenes straight out of Evil Dead.
It's odd that you would say that, because the closest thing I've seen to a remake of Evil Dead was Evil Dead 2.
And Army of Darkness. And then one I kind of just caught, you know, just barely, that could be interesting, is Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
I've actually heard that's a pretty good book.
Yeah, and it's directed by Timur Bakmambetov, better known for the Russian horror movies The Night Watch and Day Watch, which are kind of like have this underground following. So I guess they're pretty good. So we'll see how that goes. You know, basically, I guess Abraham Lincoln finds out that there's vampires that are heading up the Confederates. I don't know, and like trying to keep slavery so that they have blood or something like that. It's interesting, to say the least. It's an interesting premise, so we'll see how that goes. So I don't know. Does anyone have anything else for movies?
That's about it. No. I think you named every movie that's come out in the last year.
I might have. I tried to cut it down, too. But it went much faster than TV, so we'll take it. All right, so let's... I guess we can to move on to video games.
Fantastic.
I was on mute because I took a drink. What I was saying was I think that we will actually break because the video games are going to run long. We're at 40 minutes right now of podcasting. So I would imagine that the video game talk will easily duplicate that. So
do you want to throw in gadgets real quick or do we want to just break?
We can. I don't really have too much except I love my iPhone 4S. I got my wife a Kindle Fire for Christmas, which is interesting.
Yeah, I'm a Nook guy. I like the Nook.
So. Yeah, I've got the Amazon Prime because I like the super fast shipping. And I've already got like an old school, like version 1 Kindle, or version 2, I guess. Anyway, and I liked it, so we can swap books back and forth. And but yeah, it was mostly the Amazon Prime that sold me on the Fire instead of the Nook. Because I got it for her because I wanted her to be able to put, she knits, and put her knitting patterns on it. So, yeah, because she wanted something small. Like, the iPhone's a little too small of a screen for something like that. But, like, carrying around an iPad is just kind of dumb for, you know, that. Plus, spending the money for an iPad just to carry around knitting patterns is dumb. So, yeah, the Fire is all right. It's a little... It's not super responsive. It's not like, you know, like an iPad is. I mean, it's got like an app store, you know, so you can play Angry Birds on it. You can play Angry Birds on everything now.
Yeah.
But the internet is a little bit, like whenever you scroll, it's not a super smooth scroll like what you see on like an iPad. But then again, it's not powered like an iPad. So, you know. If it weren't for the Amazon Prime thing, then I would have gone with the Nook instead, but because the Nook is actually a more powerful machine. But
yeah, Barnes & Noble has did a great job with the tablets and the ebook readers. The thing I like best about those is the fact that the format of the actual books, because you know Amazon has their own proprietary file format, which you can't transfer around, so it's much easier to check out like library books digitally from the library, which I love to do. I can do that from my library now, so mm-hmm. So that's great that you can just, you know, plug it right into your computer and borrow a book for a couple weeks. Yeah, you said the iPhone, you know, the iPad 2 came out this year. I think there'll be an iPad every single year.
Yeah, probably.
I bought the HP TouchPad this year. Mm-hmm. So, they let them go free for 2 months, you know, like they released them and then 2 months later they said they weren't going to support, the OS anymore, which was just fantastic. So you got really cheap deals. It's a great, I mean, they're more powerful than the iPad. Mm-hmm. But they're just the store itself is kind of disappointing in comparison because they're just no one's going to program for something that's not going to be supported. They will be switching to an Android operating system, though. So that'll be kind of nice. So they had a lot of free apps out there. The 3DS came out this year. I think it was a mild success for Nintendo. It sold fairly decent. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the whole 3D craze. So, but you know that's. That's where they kind of excels in the handhelds. And something I thought was kind of interesting, I missed it, but I found this on ThinkGeek, but it was called the iCade. And you have an iPad, don't you, Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah. You basically, it has a cradle, and you just kind of hook in your iPad, and it's shaped like an old arcade machine. And so you plug it in, and it's got the control, and then you kind of put the machine around it. And you can use the joystick and the buttons to play like arcade game on your like a mini arcade game on your iPad, and it's most, you know, there's a lot of mini Atari games and stuff that you can play, so you can play it like with the joystick and buttons. So I think
that was one of the things every year at April Fool's Day. I think he puts up a bunch of silly stuff, and I think that was one of the ones. And sometimes the fake items are so popular that they actually end up making them.
Yeah, a company liked it so much they worked with ThinkGeek to make it. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then for this year, you got, you know, they mentioned, I guess, the PS4 and the Xbox 70 won't be out this year. I had that on my list, but then CES, the Consumer Electronics Show or whatever, they announced that they would not be out this year. You're going to have a new iPad this year, a new iPhone. That's no surprise. Something I thought was pretty interesting, the Nest, which is a learning thermostat.
Actually, you know, I would be fair. I wouldn't be let's see, how should I phrase this? It wouldn't surprise me too much if there wasn't a new iPhone this year, because the 4S came out about a year and a half after the 4, and it just came out in, what was it, October?
I think so.
So, I mean, I could see them, them waiting and holding off until, you know, the early part of next year. Not saying they necessarily will, but,
It was one that people had, you know, listed on the internet. I don't know. It's hard to say for certain. But you have, like I mentioned, the Nest, which is a learning thermostat. I guess it was created by the man who created the iPod. And I guess you can connect with your smartphone. So it's like a little knob almost with the touch screen. So I thought that was pretty interesting. The PlayStation 3D television. Obviously part of the 3D craze. What I thought was pretty interesting about it is that, you know, when you have another person playing with you at your house, you've got the split screen, which can be pretty damn annoying. But the way they made the PlayStation TV, you can, when you're wearing the glasses, each person sees a different screen. So that it's on two different modulations.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so you don't have to play split screen when you have your friends over, which is pretty neat. You've got the two handhelds coming out from Nintendo Wii U and the PlayStation Vita, which is the new PSP, basically. I thought this was pretty interesting. The Asus Pad phone. It's a hybrid tablet slash smartphone, and you kind of, I guess, the smartphone hooks underneath behind the tablet. So it looks slightly sexual to me upon viewing, which was on purpose, considering they had a scantily clad, you know, Asian woman holding it. So I think that was probably the point. The Sony headset 3D viewer. I think the 3D headsets will be coming in droves pretty soon. So you just pop them over your head. Don't even need a television anymore. And then the last thing I had was the Boxy, which is, if you've ever heard of, the name is escaping me now. It's one of the internet television boxes.
Okay.
You can connect. You can use your laptop, or you can actually buy like the little cube, and connect it. So it's like a high res internet television. I suppose they have more apps. You can control it with your smartphone, like the remote, and you can add like a live TV. HD antenna. The only downfall I see is that it just doesn't have – the only negative I see is there's just no Hulu Plus on it. So it's got Netflix and all that. So
okay.
So that was it for gadgets. So we can take a break.
Yeah.
We'll be back with the lengthy game segment.
Yeah. Well, yes. So
– Yes.
Well, back in a week.
Yes.
So yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying. We're teasing.
Well, yeah, I didn't want people to wait, and then they'll just sit there waiting and waiting, and like nothing comes up, and then they get very confused.
Look, it could be all three are going to come out at once. I don't know.
There will most likely be a couple of days, but that way iTunes only shows the most recent auto downloads, the most recent podcast.
Gotcha.
So I like to give a couple of days if I'm going to just throw a bunch of stuff up there. But so all right, that's it for Dorgasm for this week, or this
so
today for today anyway. Yeah, so
it's gonna last the entire year at this point.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so stay tuned next time. We'll talk about games, and then the episode after that we'll talk about the exciting stuff that happened in 2012. So stick around
when it's 2013.